Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 185 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. It's a one Sean Couturier plus a Michael Neuwirth and Anthony Stolarz. Remember that possible tandem? How's it going? It's Drew Papsky here along with Jeff and Doyle. Here to bring another exciting week of Flyers talk. And the Flyers, it's pretty much playoff time, people. It has been for a while, but this is the week. A week from now, we're talking about this team. Things could be a lot different, or they could be the same, or they could be worse. I don't know yet. So, yeah, after this past week with the Flyers, we last spoke to you before that Caps game that ended 5-3 with a loss. And then they went on to win 5-2 against New York Islanders and 3-2 against the Senators. And end of the week, 2-1-0 since we last spoke to you. They're 76 points. At this time, they are still out of a playoff spot. Columbus played last night and won, and they're down by 5. But the Flyers tonight have a game versus the Caps. I'm sure we'll be talking about that, along with Jake Voracek's suspension, guys moving in the lineup, getting more playing time and everything else. So, Jeff, Doyle, how are we feeling about the Flyers this week? You guys pumped for this Caps game? I mean, it's tomorrow for us, but everyone listening, they got to feel the energy. They're going
to get excited about another
Caps. Woo, it's the playoffs, motherfucker!
Another Caps game.
Did you look at
that? That ended real well last time.
At least we're not going to the game and wasting money on parking.
That's true.
And we didn't waste money on parking.
Oh, that's right. We had a nice
we
insiders.
We did waste money on food and beers, but me and Doyle didn't, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, insider perks only go so far. I wanted to make sure you guys had the fruits of the labor of the podcast, you know, along with it.
Have you seen the upcoming schedule for the Flyers next week?
Yes, I have it right in front of me, actually. It's funny, Joe. Sorry.
Fuck.
You were so high on your cold medicine, I thought you were drunk. That's a Joe the Rat reference. The Flyers had the Caps tonight, and then they go right to Toronto the next day.
Who's getting
play.
Smoked by Chicago right now? For
as
nothing.
We speak, all right, good, yeah. Thank you, Doyle with the Sports
Center. Then they
update.
Won't be angry or frustrated that they got smoked by a bottom of the barrel team.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottom of the barrel. What?
Listen, it's going to happen all fucking night. You can't keep pointing it out.
I will.
maybe Tavares will be happy. We've just been smoking the Islanders lately. He's like, thanks, guys. Thanks for making me feel good about myself. As he takes his pacifier out, he's a baby. Whatever that weird stuff.
But then
is.
They're
diaper fetishes.
So they get over the Caps and the Leafs, and you're like, oh, cool. The schedule's going to slow down. Nope, playing the Penguins on Sunday.
Yeah. So
God
goes,
damn it.
And then they have a couple. They have one day off, and they come back home to play Montreal. So. Those are big games, number one. The Penguins and the Montreal are right in front of us.
Oh, yeah.
And the Leafs are also at the bottom of their division. So that if they were to fall off, but not too much, they could still be in the wild card spot. Yeah. If they were to fall off. I mean, we're still talking. They're like 12 points ahead of us right now.
Yeah, they're like tied with the Capitals, I think, in total points. But they have a better overall record.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone's. Unless Montreal goes on a run and moves up there, it's not necessarily like plausible, but it could happen. But still, points is points, and the Flyers need to bring their best hockey this week.
This week's going to be pretty telling.
Yeah, so really, the Penguins game and Montreal game come to mind as being the most important, but they still have to get points where they can get them, and they also have multiple games versus Carolina at the end of the season, another game versus Toronto, and then a couple. Another game versus the Caps. So
still
we're gonna catch
a game
them.
Versus the Caps. They play the Hurricanes two more times.
And one more Islanders game. So hopefully we can turn that into three straight wins versus them.
The Hurricanes play Columbus on Friday.
We have to hope it's not a three-point game.
So, yeah, you have to hope that one ends in regulation.
Yeah.
How about the Hurricanes getting
maybe the Hurricanes can go on a win streak. Columbus will lose.
They're on a that win streak right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they can just keep winning. And we can beat the Penguins. That way Columbus or the Hurricanes move to the third spot. We'll beat the Penguins. Penguins drop down to the other wild card spot and then we avoid having to worry about Columbus winning and then the Hurricanes and them staying together.
You know that the most frustrating part of the Hurricanes win streak or win run, whatever you want to call it, because I think they went 7-2-1 in their last 10.
What's that?
Is that Peter Mrazek's playing great?
Yeah,
where the hell was that in the playoffs?
I mean,
he's still has a meh save percentage.
This whole season, he's been up and down.
Yeah, but where was his good play last year in the playoffs when the Flyers could have used him?
It was good the first like four or five games
after
they had
they traded
him,
for
and
him.
Then it was very bad after.
Well,
that.
Also the Flyers didn't play exactly great defensively in that series versus the Penguins. They were outmatched for sure, but we had a good time covering it. It was fun to go to that last game. I think they had a chance to force a game seven, but they lost. And but looking at that schedule, though, I mean, whoever is going to be ahead in that wild card race, we probably want them to win in that Columbus game. So if Carolina's ahead in the standings, we probably want Carolina to win. Or if Columbus is heavy, we probably want them to win because we're not going to get in based on regulation or overtime wins.
Yeah, the Flyers don't have any of the tiebreakers. I would ideally
so
like
we have
to
get them by points.
I'd like to see Columbus drop out just because I want to see what happens to them in the offseason when they have to acknowledge that they traded away all of their draft picks.
Also, we can't
and lost
beat them.
Half their team.
Yeah, we can't beat them either.
I just want them to re-sign Matt Duchene so the Flyers don't have to worry about doing
right.
anything with that.
Because then you know by the trade deadline next year he'll get sent somewhere else.
Yeah, of course.
Typical Matt Duchene action.
But anyway, back to Flyers talk this week. So looking at the month of March, looking back a couple months ago, we didn't even think we'd be here. The Flyers do have somewhat of a fighting chance. They played pretty much an insane amount of good hockey lately. They're the second best team in the league since the middle of January. Yeah, they're right behind them as far as points and wins. And we didn't know we were going to be here. So I guess it is exciting for that, at least for building the young team, as they're getting more guys are getting ice time, like Phil Myers and all that stuff. But I have to start with you guys first. We'll go with Jeff, since your voice is probably going to crack because you're getting over a cold.
Most likely.
Jeff, what did you learn this week about the Flyers that you think would be important?
Piggybacking off of our previous conversation, I think that the Flyers are going to miss the playoffs because the other teams aren't helping us.
Yeah, that's been you see a lot of teams not really
the teams that you want to lose, yeah, are winning, and the teams that we don't want to lose are losing.
Yeah, I think the last time, I think it happened like 2 years ago, the Flyers were like 5 points, I think, behind Toronto, and they needed to finish the season like 11-0-2 or something like that to make the playoffs, and they finished like 7-4-3. But Toronto also finished like 9-2-3 or something like that in that yeah. same time, so they just could never bridge the gap.
Yeah, that's why it's very every team's gearing up for the playoffs. It's a hard yeah. time of year to win games on a streak when have other teams
and
lose.
Like Columbus is wavering right now. We don't really know how they're doing, but Carolina looks like they're getting hot at the right time.
And all their celebrations
is not great. Buffalo's coming off
jerks.
Of a
jerky celebrations.
Boston's coming off of a huge point streak. The Penguins are on or off recently a huge point streak. So like it's not going well for the Flyers in terms of other teams losing.
The Isles play the Canadiens tomorrow.
Go Isles.
So, I mean Thursday, so tonight for
yeah, at this
the
point,
listeners.
We just gotta hope the teams in the top three in the Metro stay there.
Yeah, Tuesday night scoreboard watching was a bitch.
Oh, especially
really
the Bruins. The Bruins like, screwed us twice. They screwed us the game before and that game.
Yeah, they were down, what, 5-0 at one point?
They were down 5-1, then came back to 5-4 at the end of the second period.
That was
7-4
last
yeah,
I checked
gave up
in
three
the third.
Goals.
Yeah, it was absolutely awful. So every team that was supposed to lose in the favor of the Flyers on Tuesday did not do that, and that leaves us that. So at one point, the Flyers were within 3 points after their winner of the Senators on Monday.
Now it's five.
And
again,
then
right?
that's five. But however, they had the game in hand. But the game in hands don't mean shit unless you win, as
exactly.
we've said many times over this podcast over the years. So I would agree with Jeff. The Flyers making the playoffs is going to be harder because teams aren't giving them much help. But that's why you play 82 games
right.
yeah.
and not
well,
60-plus games.
Think about last year. Remember, everybody was like freaking out because Florida was like on a tear. And
oh, yeah, right at the end
like,
of the season.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, man, I wouldn't want to face them in the playoffs right now. But then they lost, like, whatever game, the last game, basically, of the season, I think.
They make
the,
it, yeah.
The
last
yeah.
game, the second
that was
last the,
that was like all, that was like an internet meme on Twitter. Everyone's like, oh, the Panthers thought they're going to make it, you know. And that's like
yeah.
Henry Hill from The Goodfellas, like, ah, you know, laughing. Yeah, that I remember that exactly what we were talking about. Because the Flyers also were like,
because the Flyers
they
needed them.
They were mathematically
yeah.
in it until
I think they needed
for
to
a while.
Lose.
And they needed them to lose, and like a lot of things had to happen for us to get in the playoffs. Because we had to win against the Rangers. The last week of the season was still up in the air, and then
yeah.
by the time we got to the Rangers game, everything had kind of fell into place for
they
us.
Needed, yeah, they needed to win, and I think they needed Boston to beat the Panthers to solidify it.
I just have a dream that one day the Flyers won't have to worry about this. Like, I never become better at math and algebra until you know, this time of season happens, because the Flyers, and as long as we've been doing this podcast, actually, have kind of had to sneak into the playoffs, whether it was the Caps
yeah.
series a couple of years ago or the Penguin series last year.
Well, even in 2010, it was the last day of
that's
the season.
That's true. That's true as well. But
the only
you know,
time it was
2011,
like
2011, it wasn't really up in the air as much.
Yeah,
and 2011,
they were like the top of the division almost. And then
yeah.
2012, they were also pretty high up there.
Yeah. It'd be nice to just not have to worry about less
yeah, exactly.
seeding shit.
And erase like, the month around Dave Hacksaw being fired, and the Flyers are probably sitting, what, top three?
Well, if you erase
definitely
the,
not going to catch
if you erase the month including the first like what 10 games of the Gordon tenure, Because he started off pretty hot, then he just went down. Like, they went down a rabbit hole of losing a lot of games at once.
Yeah. If you just take that away, the Flyers are, like, comfortably in a playoff position, and, like, all of this conversation probably doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, and also the beginning of the season, back in October into most of November, the Flyers were playing 500 hockey for the most part, and that keeps you in the season, but they lost a lot of key divisional games throughout the rest of the season that, like, you know, if the Columbus comes to mind, that really hurt us for a little while. Carolina,
every
we
game
can't.
We lost to Columbus.
Yeah, Carolina is not, you know, it's not your older brother's Carolina team anymore. They actually are good now.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard to just look past them on the schedule. And then you also got to account for the fact that the teams like the Islanders and Caps and Penguins played better against the Western Conference teams than a lot of our games,
right,
where
yeah,
we were
losing.
Yeah,
the Flyers left a lot of the points on the table.
The good news being most of our conference and divisional games came the second half of the season, which is helping us now, but those teams still aren't losing, so here we are.
Another thing that's weird, Skinner sent us that chart of the fancy stats.
Are you talking about Broad Street Boy podcast writer Matt Skinner, who you can read all his articles at BroadStreetBoy.net?
Yes.
Let's make sure people know.
He sent us the articles of the fancy stats in, like, the cutoff line of where Rick Wilson took over for the defense as a coach. And, like, the Flyers play, they started winning more games, but, like, the defensive play got worse.
This is the expected goals against average,
yeah,
right?
It got worse, like, and I think it's at a point where it was, like, higher than the Hextall era. Which makes no sense.
Meaning it was a worse stat,
yeah,
after the Hextall era when Rick Wilson took over. There was they had more their expected goals average was worse than their one during
so
the
like
Hextall
this
tenure.
Is a very weird team that, like, they've been on a tear since January, but their fancy stats, which is why I don't buy fancy stats, but their fancy stats say that they should be worse than they are.
Well, hockey is a game of so many things, like luck, and there's intangibles,
yeah,
and skill. That's why basketball is the one where you could draft, like, one or two, like, top guys, and you can make a run every year.
How's that working for the Lakers, huh?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. Look at the NBA the last, like, 15 years, the pile-on teams. You get, like, one or two guys, and then they have guys free agency. Hockey, though, is a little harder to do that, and there's a lot more variables involved. Like, how many bad deflections go in and can change the outlook of a game or a series or something like that? You've seen that in this sport.
Ask Steve Mason after Brandon Manning deflected that puck in.
You're still not letting that one go, huh?
Yeah, that crushed the Flyers' playoffs hope for that year.
Yeah. But you guys see what I mean, though? Like, if you just look at, like, the Flyers play, like, they're scoring more goals. They play more confident. Their game's more complete. The power play isn't in as big a shambles as it was.
But apparently they're getting up more goals.
Yeah, exactly. And they have much. Their goaltending has been much better, though. Their goaltending has been. I mean, I'm not going on a limb by saying this. I mean,
you gotta really understand how that stat works.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't really understand the basis of how that works.
I don't understand how most fancy stats.
Well, if
work.
You would like to know, Skinner broke it down, and when he was looking at expected goals against average against with Carter Hart, look at the fancy stats, and he kind of explained it there. So
we do know that they have goals against replacement now, right? Goals above replacement.
Yeah. Gone.
Finally, a stat to match baseball.
It's like all the baseball, all the baseball nerds got tired of doing the same ones. His on base percentage, and when it's raining in July, his RJ OBP range July on base percentage.
Dude, you laugh,
up.
But that's probably a stat.
His WHIP.
Oh my god, I hate that one. I really do. It just really annoys me. But yeah, he explains it on there and kind of goes into why or what the. So basically, you're expected like it grades, like, shots and odd stuff and chances and sees, like, ones that are, like, most dangerous.
Quality chances when that person's
on
the
exactly.
ice.
Yeah, exactly. Which just, it just sounds like way too much, and it's like all the nerds are coming into sports again. And it's somehow going to win someone their fantasy hockey league, so it's fine, I guess.
Well, I think the person who runs, like, Corsica, like, shut the website down.
Yeah, he left because
he got a job, as, like, a statistician, is that
statistician?
Statistician, there you go.
Yeah. Tumultus?
Yeah.
Tumultus.
Yeah, he got it with, like, the league or with a team?
I think a team.
A team's like, yo, dude, come here.
Yeah.
Stop giving this information out for free. You're going to come over here and you're figure it out for me, and we're going to moneyball this shit, and we're going to win. And that's the only hope the Senators have. Actually, the Senators hired him. I mean,
no, the Senators went to, they bailed on, they're using Fenwick now.
Ah, yes. I can't think of Fenwick without thinking of Boston.
The bastardized brother of Corsi.
Yeah, they're using
Fenwick Park.
They're using the drunken man outside of the arena that they play at to give them tips.
Oh, so basically the Ottawa version of this podcast. Awesome.
Speaking of Fenwick, Corsi's been shut down now for how long? Like a while, a couple weeks. Nobody's migrated over to Fenwick yet? It's not even been in the talks? I haven't seen it.
I haven't heard someone say Fenwick besides this podcast, and we're joking about how much we don't like the fancy stats. Probably in a good...
People
Fortnite
have been
or two, maybe actually more
bringing
year.
Up Wayne Simmons, Corsi, and Fenwick stats.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are not good.
Somebody tweeted,
the guy that we traded for and we got robbed in that pick, he hasn't really been doing well in Nashville, according to the fancy stats or his just point production.
He only has what, one assist in, like, six games or something like that?
And
he's playing very sheltered minutes.
Since the middle of January.
He hasn't scored a goal since
Greg
January
13th. Greg Wisniewski.
Puck Daddy guy?
Maybe. He tweeted out, I did see that, like, a majority of the time he is getting is on the power play, and he's still not doing anything.
But, I mean, is he also just doing the things that you can't add up on the ice? For example, like, clearing traffic, making chances, or sticking up for teammates? Like, that's part of the reason why they drafted him, for power play help and just to help have a locker room guy, right?
I mean,
why else would the Blackhawks trade for Kimmo Tiimonen to make their cup run? They did it because, you know?
But he also... Well, a lot of people were yelling at said tweeter that just wait for the playoffs, just wait for the playoffs. And Wayne Simmons hasn't scored a playoff goal in a pretty long time.
Yeah.
Did he score in that Capitals series or was it against the Rangers series?
I think the Rangers series might have been the last time he scored a goal.
Really? Okay. So that was, what, 2014?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Capitals series was in 2016, right?
Yeah.
So they didn't make the playoffs and then they came back. And then, then he didn't score in the Penguins series last year, right?
No.
So he was playing injured. Okay.
He's doing his best out there.
So part of that is because the Flyers did, like, make it and miss it. But all other part of that, he hasn't scored yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it works out. I still wish them all the best. I'm rooting for Nashville.
Oh, yeah. I love Wayne Simmons.
But it definitely, I mean, we'll see what they have at the end of the season. You can't judge it based on the first few weeks. But it looks like the Flyers got a guy they can put into their middle six rotation and still judge and evaluate the talent with a little bit of a pick. And hopefully Nashville wins a series so we get a higher pick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got rid of Simmons because we weren't going to sign him. It's a business, man. It sucks. I mean, you can't watch the Wired Stadium series show and be like, oh, man, I really wish, we could have kept him. That was a great show. We watched it. I watched it last week after we did this episode. It sucked we couldn't really talk about it. It was great to see him out there and to see TK talk trash like the guy we know he did. But we'll see what happens with that trade. I don't think it's going to come back to bite us at all because even if Nashville wins a cup, it's not going to be because we should have kept Wayne Simmons.
Yeah.
Wayne Simmons could help. Wayne Simmons could score the game-winning goal for the cup. It still would have been the right move for us because Nashville is a different spot than we are.
Exactly.
I was looking for that tweet about waiting for the playoffs. Did you read it? Because I wasn't paying attention.
No, I did not read it. We were talking about how much we hate you, actually.
that's usual. So Greg Wisniewski said, I love that shitty reporting is passing along actual stats. I can assume, I guess, that good reporting is failing around saying wait until the playoffs without noting that Wayne Simmons also hasn't scored a goal in his last 13 playoff games.
There you go.
No, you wait until the playoffs is like a logical, like, hey, let's wait until the playoffs till we judge it. Okay, good. But right now is what he's doing.
Yeah.
Now, waiting in the playoffs is an argument to say this trade is a bust, because that's the argument. It's like a logical argument. Wait till the playoffs, whatever. But if he's saying this the way he's playing right now, he's not saying this trade is a bust, then you really can't say wait till the playoffs as a good counter argument.
Yeah.
Well, you know all the best trades are decided within 10 games, so
yeah.
However many they
look
played
look at Mike Mamula for the Eagles.
Deadlines.
I mean, oh, wait, it's probably a good example.
He's played a handful of games at 6 minutes, but we've decided this trade's a bust.
I mean, some trades don't work out. I mean, if trades worked out all the time, guess what? A lot more teams will win a championship. And only
trades
one
worked
can.
Out, Ottawa wouldn't be crippled.
Oh, I thought you had a friend named Ottawa you wanted to talk about. I was like, oh, geez.
I'm surprised more people weren't complaining
about... He was
like
building trades and got crushed by a pillar.
I'm surprised more people weren't complaining about Wayne Simmons not being on the Flyers when Jake Voracek was getting ran at multiple times after he got a five-minute major for... decking Johnny Boychuk.
Well, a lot of people said how important Wayne Simmons is to the lineup and how he brings that grit and how he went out and fought Mantha
after he drove. Hit Giroux.
Like,
wait, hold on. That's when he hit Giroux in the back and drove his head in the boards?
Right.
Did he get suspended for that game?
No, he didn't.
We'll warn that later. Hold on.
But like for the rest of that game, Simmons didn't do anything. It was the next game that Simmons fought the guys. So like anybody could have fought him the next game. You don't need Wayne Simmons there to do that.
That's true.
So
Scott Laughton could have done it. Andrew McDonald, our eighth defenseman, could have done it.
But like everybody made such a big deal about Simmons doing that. And they're like, he's such a great teammate. It's like, it took him a whole half a game to do it. Like,
and
why didn't he fight him the next shift?
A day between to figure it out.
Yeah, a plane ride.
Yeah. I think
he had time to think about it. He was like, wait a minute, I didn't like that.
They used to call this place Hockey Town. It was a Joe Louis Arena. It really bugs me. I'm going to fight them. Yeah. And also, he hurt my captain.
Back when
and my
RoboCop
buddy.
Was patrolling the streets.
The only person that hits Drew in the back of the head is my knee a few years ago against the Stars.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When Lad almost fought Ott in the freaking locker room.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on. Speaking of maybe a major, Doyle, what did you learn this week in Flyers Nation?
Flyerdom. The Department of Player Safety for the NHL still has no clue of what the hell they're doing over there.
Okay, you said still has no clue because you said they had no clue. I'm like, Doyle, you should have learned this many, many moons ago. So Jake Voracek got suspended, and this is probably going to take up most of the podcast here. Let us bitch, people.
I don't even care that it's a suspension anymore. Like, fine, if you're going to make that hit, I care about all of the missed hits of, like, head contact and everything that just don't get acknowledged at all, but then you have this, and that's a two-game suspension. Fine, it's two-game suspension, whatever. But how about when Nolan Patrick gets boarded? Like, that's a play that's been eradicated from the NHL for, like, 10 years now, and that guy gets one game.
You're speaking about Gabriel from the Devils? Okay.
And then Anthony Mantha drives Drew's board off his head off the dasher, gets nothing. Not even a penalty.
It wasn't the puck away from him at that point, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So two, three. Three finishes.
And also, everyone's going to Criers. They're crying about Malkin. Malkin swinging his stick at his head.
That
was way more dangerous.
Too, yeah. And then Luke Kunin getting his face smashed off the bench. That got a game misconduct, but nothing after that.
Or Jack Eichel getting his face smashed into the boards after the whistle, and he gets the suspension for retaliating.
Yeah. Did you see the elbow that Dahlin threw on Rantanen?
I did not. Was it bad?
It was pretty bad. I mean, Jack Eichel, like, the puck was in the air, and Jack Eichel hit Rantanen as he was trying to, like, get the puck down. But, like, you see Dahlin, like, look, and, like, as Rantanen's getting pushed to him, he throws his elbow and just hits him in the jaw.
It looked like he was trying to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, two things. Daniel Carcillo agreed with the ruling because there's no room for plays like that in the game. So I don't really understand where he's coming from because I feel like Voracek's back check, for lack of a better term.
He pulled a Forsberg.
Yeah.
Not as egregious as some of the other stuff that hasn't been penalized.
Well, that's what I mean.
And two,
it was definitely a penalty. Because the puck was nowhere near.
It was a two-minute interference
penalty.
Well,
the puck was in
my mind.
The puck was in the corner, and Bettman's ruling, which is it's hard to follow because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
I think if he had possession, though, that's a completely different
play. So Bettman said he...
Do you want to hear the direct quote?
Yeah.
He said, quote, I'm the worst... Oh, wait, sorry, that's my opinion of him. At the hearing, Mr.
I thought you were going to say... I thought you missed the part where he said, we're going to lock out in 2 years.
Well, he's not
going to
tell him that now.
So,
you sure about that?
I hope you older fans like Summer Series. They lock out. We're bringing it back, boys. I'm just kidding. Here's a quote. At the hearing, Mr. Voracek conceded that his conduct constituted interference. He said that he believed that Mr. Boychuk intended to hit him as opposed to making a play on the puck.
Which he did.
As a result, in order to protect himself from injury, Mr. Voracek said that he braced himself for the hit and said that he did not lunge towards or into Mr. Boychuk. While accept Mr. Voracek's explanation that he thought Mr. Boychuk was going to initiate a check, the video makes it clear that it was Mr. Voracek who initiated the contact.
It sets a bad precedent because Voracek's only options were to get trucked from behind or to step out of Boychuk's way so he could continue on his path to the puck, both of which, not solid hockey plays.
Yeah, so he has to brace himself and go against the boards and let him ride him in there, or you give him a little bump. Now, this whole hit, you got a five-minute major. I know you guys are probably like, ooh, there were some Flyers fans that were actually bitching about Flyers fans about this hit. Now, I know that scenario. I've been on the other side of it where I've been like, okay, why are you guys complaining about it?
Like you tried to defend Scott Hartnell for driving Andrew Albert's face into
exactly,
the
but there is... this is one of those plays is a bang-bang play. I don't think it's something... Jake Voracek has never been a dirty player. Ever. Lazy back checker, sure. Turnover machine at times, sure. Phenomenal offensive talent, though. Strong on the puck when he wants to be, and he plays the game the right way. He plays between the whistles. He's clean. This was not an egregious kind of hit where he was attempting to injure Boychuk.
Here's what I gathered from it. Voracek conceded that he would have been fine with one game suspension. He said that.
Yes.
Now, Bettman also made... He specifically pointed out that Boychuk was injured as a result of the hit. So the reasoning...
Yes, not in this quote, but
yeah,
yeah,
and
it is, yep.
In the full NHL explanation. So basically, it sounds like Bettman's reasoning, which is a bad explanation, is based off of the injury again, which is not a good way to deem dirty hits, because even if a person's not injured, their face could still be, let's say, driven into the dasher by a career AHL player on the Devils. You know? So you don't want to encourage that. And three, Bettman...
The same thing with somebody doing their best Bryce Harper impression and swinging their stick, but since they weren't hurt, you
exactly.
only give them
and
a game.
He had no prior thing, so he'd never been suspended.
If you launch someone with a knife, it's still attempted murder.
But
aggravated assault.
The third thing is, I read a stat that Bettman has not overturned any suspensions or less.
Why would
any
he
suspensions
disagree with
under
his...
under 5 games?
Yeah.
Why? Ever?
Because the 5 games go to an independent arbitrator; doesn't go to him. And why would he ever disagree with his employee?
Well, that's it's another reason.
Protecting the brand, baby.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Voracek. So the NHLPA usually doesn't file appeals. It's only if the team asks specifically or the player asks specifically. So in this case, Jake went to them and said, please file this. But the suspension was never going to get lessened.
But you got to fight it,
though. He had the card stacked
against
him.
Right, but now it's on
time.
Record. And now that it's on record, Batman's explanation doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah, here's what Voracek had to say about it. Here's a quick little clip of what he had to say. Then also Scott Gordon jumping in right after from Flyers practice today. Or yesterday, for those of you listening.
The explanation on the suspension was that I went out of my way to make eye contact with Johnny Boychuk, which I don't think I did. I think I changed my weight drastically, and my explanation was that I was bracing for the impact, bracing for contact, I mean, and I stand behind it. I didn't mean anything by it to hurt him, and how else did he saw it from?
Yeah, I mean,
this is Scott Gordon.
There's nothing we can do about it, so...
Who? Gordon.
Almost thought you forgot.
Really, we just have to move on from it.
Never.
And, other players have to step up, just like, you know, on Monday, we get some scoring from Raff and Lots, and that's huge. So, you know, where you lose a player, that's what you need, is somebody else to come to the forefront, and both those guys did a great job.
So, yeah, there you have it. His explanation, I mean, whatever. I've talked shit on Voracek in the past. I'm not just defending him because he's a Flyers player. I really don't. I'm trying to take the Flyers glasses off. I think a two-minute interference would have been fine.
I would have been.
Five-minute major,
well, it's because he got hurt. Because Johnny Boychuk got hurt on the play. That's why it was a five-minute
major. He wasn't hurt enough to yap all his way off the ice.
He apparently said, I'm coming for you and pointing at him.
He was fucking pointing and bitching about it.
It was like WrestleMania.
He can't be hurt that bad if he could be yelling. That's like when you're running and you're like, I can't breathe. Well, if you couldn't breathe, you couldn't be saying you can't breathe.
Yeah,
so fucking suck it up.
Stop talking or waste more oxygen.
But out of control.
That five-minute major pissed me off, too.
Yeah, but...
I can live with that more, but now you're taking him out of 2 games. The Senators games, thank God we walked away, but we're missing him for the Caps game tonight. Yeah. And that's that hurts. We need a guy like him to win. I mean, the Caps are obviously, they're defending champs. They're a good team. They just beat our ass last Thursday. Don't let that score fool you. I mean, or that last Wednesday.
Yeah,
that third period was nice, but the first two periods were not fun.
Yeah. Well, Carter Hart's starting, so that'll be good.
Oh,
the only part I don't like is that they're, like we've said, and I mean, it's not a secret, there's been no consistency to suspensions at all.
Well, that's what makes me more angry than him, than Voracek getting suspended.
Yeah, this
because
is a one-off.
Because if you're
going to
suspend him, fine. But why are there so many examples of worse plays that have less suspensions
or no suspensions?
Yeah,
and I'm not a believer.
That's what I hate the most.
Like, and that's not as a Flyers homer. That's as anybody. That's like saying goaltender interference is flawed. You're not reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah, and that's not to say that I'm not some conspiracy guy that buys into the fact that the Flyers are hated or wanted by.
That's
I don't believe
that's
in
been
that.
The best part. Well, he plays for the Flyers, so, you know, he was never going to get a fair shake.
Yeah, I mean, those are the people I could say, like, stop your whining and bitching. But I think there is a room for, like, a dialogue or conversation about this. That's why we're doing it. And if you think that we're wasting our time here, you can take it and shove it, my friend.
It doesn't matter what you think!
Because in all honesty, this has been a problem for this league for years. And it always just seems to be a case-by-case basis is great, and there should be. But there should be more objectivity to it. And like you said, that this just makes it more frustrating. I don't like the suspension regardless, but I could swallow it easier, just like you guys said. If there's other similar cases that were treated similarly or ones that were worse, were treated more harshly. When I've seen ones that weren't even, there was not even a call about what they did. It was just like, all right, it drove his face to the board. That's fine.
Like the one McDavid got suspended for earlier when he came across, I forget who he hit, but I sent you guys in the group, there was a hit from Nick Cousins who literally just like shouldered right up into Kyle Clifford's head, bounces his head off the boards. Nothing, there's no suspension or review from that, and that was the day, that was the same night as the Islanders game and the Avalanche game. I was like, so how are these two suspensions, but this isn't? Is it because Kyle Clifford skated over to him and cross-checked him a couple times? Is that justice from there on? Like, is because he's not hurt visibly? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, what about the, like, Voracek just used his back. He didn't throw a shoulder or an elbow, from what I could tell. Maybe, am I wrong with that?
They said there was head contact. I didn't see it.
Yeah, because it's middle of his back.
Well, yeah, I don't know. He kind of led with his face.
Well, yeah, but that's not Voracek's fault.
Voracek was boring like down that, on him and waiting to. He was ready to square up for a hit.
It was like weird. He like went up, but he kind of was like going backwards as well.
Yeah.
Well, he ripped his weight.
Yeah, he hit
impact.
He hit him in
like
the head.
Like you said
though.
Earlier, Forsberg did that. If Forsberg still played hockey, he would never. He'd be suspended.
Giroux does that sometimes too.
Season.
He'll like when guys come out to hit, he does the Forsberg. I remember Giroux doing it a lot when he was younger because he was a lot smaller before he put on more muscle and grew up a little bit.
If the NHL just. Like this offseason, instead of worrying about goalie skate blades and putting time clocks in the boards, they should just say, if you check somebody from behind into the boards and whatever, it's a five-game suspension.
Yeah.
Finished. If there's head contact, it's a six-game and just arbitrarily lay this shit down and watch it all go out of the game because guys aren't going to want to lose money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're also not going to lose playing time. Their coaches are going to get pissed at them.
And if they do five games or more... Then it goes that independent arbitrator, and Bettman doesn't have to look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
So it also, the pressure comes off him. I don't understand why they're not doing it.
The NFL always has this problem, too, with the head hits in their game. Their game's even more of a collision sport.
And they started penalizing it,
too, and fining and doing flags for, like, any kind of head contact. Although there is a lot of inconsistency with the way they treat quarterbacks. But I think, by and large, the NFL, am I wrong by thinking they have less of a problem with this as far as the defense? They started this a couple years ago, and they've been... There's cutting down on it, but there's still plays that go unsaid, like maybe Ertz getting his help, or was it Dallas Goedert?
Oh, yeah, that one
that
was
whole
bad.
Thing with the Eagles earlier this season versus the Cowboys.
But yeah,
that
like
was,
that one was textbook defenseless receiver.
Yeah, they didn't call it.
But yeah, for the most part, like...
They've cut down on it, though, right?
Yeah,
for the most
by
part.
A lot. And you get fined, like, I forget how much, but it, like, almost, like, doubles or triples, like, every time that you get called for it, like, after that.
Yeah. So repeat offenders, no matter what, they're not, like, saying, he's a repeat offender, so we're going to add two more games, or he's a repeat offender we don't like, we're going to add three more games.
Yeah. It's
like, repeat offenders, they're liked by the NHL, if they're, for example.
Brad Marchand.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say versus a Radko Gudas or a Tom Wilson. If Brad Marchand's a superstar kind of player that brings in a lot of points and money for the league, they're going to give him less of a sentence, even as a repeat offender, than someone like Radko Gudas, who plays grinded-out defensive hockey.
Yeah.
It's much
or Sidney Crosby, who they changed the rules for because he slashed somebody's finger off.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
So they took away...
He's a Tom Brady, dude. The tuck rule.
They cut
that's
down...
the hockey's tuck rule right there.
...on fighting because they're changing the game, so that's fine. Now, assholes like this used to be policed by somebody who was bigger than them punching them in the face. That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, no, cops can't do anything. Oh, wait, you're talking about the police.
So now the league has to
give them the old wood shampoo.
And I think if they just come up with a solid suspension plan and they go, you know, I don't, whatever. It's black and white now. There's no gray. If you do this, you will be suspended. Doesn't matter who you are.
You mean like any
doesn't
university
matter what kind
or
of superstar
high school
you
have a suspension?
Yes, exactly. And that's it. Like, you're done. Milan Lucic, if you do it, you're suspended. Sidney Crosby, if you do it, same suspension. Does it matter?
Yeah, there has to
that's
be.
It.
Yeah, there has
then work
to be
on goal
guidelines.
Yeah, rubric.
Stop
I got suspended from
time.
High school for saying something to a teacher that was inappropriate. I'm not going to say what it was. I'll let your imaginations wander on that one. But she looked. The principal looked at it and goes like, "All right, you said this. Listen, you didn't really get in trouble a lot. Blah 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 blah. That's at least 2 days. You're not a repeat offender. There you go. 2 days. And that was what it was. And I was like, really, I'm going to get suspended? She's like, yeah. I'm like, but I didn't do anything. It's like, but yeah, but you broke this rule, so I have to give you that. And that's what they did with.
Right.
I know it's a stupid example, but that was at a high school.
Yeah. Where people are held accountable for their actions.
And, like, it's not a professional sports league.
I got in trouble and sent to the disciplinary office once, and the...
Doyle said, heck. The teacher heard him.
The assistant principal was really, like, parading me around the office because I've never been down there. She's like, you seen this kid before? I don't even know who this is.
You're one of the good ones I don't know about. But there's a sense of there's time for each crime, no matter what you're in, like local, state, federal level. So there should be, obviously there's different circumstances that affect sentencing and crimes, but if you're going to do something that's against the league policy, there should be a penalty for it.
But like you said earlier,
don't do the crime
uniform
if you don't want to do the time.
Even if you try, even if you stab somebody and you try to kill them but don't, it's still attempted murder.
Yes.
So like,
that's why I said those Pens fans in the parking lot, I think, like, a couple weeks ago.
If you intended to do that but they didn't get hurt, it doesn't stop your intention.
Yes, that was a really good analogy.
Just like
analogy,
if you
right?
check somebody from behind and didn't hurt them,
that
it
analogy,
doesn't stop your intention of being a piece of shit.
That analogy brought to you by being quick on my feet and Michelob Ultra. Drink yours today. Drink responsibly. The unofficial official beer of the Broad Street Bully Podcast.
Now,
and stepdads everywhere.
Did Jake intend to hurt Johnny Boychuk? We don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
He said he didn't, so we have to believe him.
But
right?
Anyway, he got a 2-game suspension. Did a career AHLer, whose name I don't remember, intend to hurt Nolan Patrick?
Archangel Gabriel?
Curtis Gabriel.
Based off the fact that he literally saw Patrick's numbers the entire way over to him,
yeah,
and then cross-checked him by extending his arms through his back into the boards, I would say yes, he intended to hurt him. Because you don't just cross-check people that close to the boards and not expect something bad to happen.
Yeah, that's the way it is. But anyway, we're kind of beat this one to death here. So give us your take on the Voracek suspension after the energy has died down a little bit. 856-347-PUCK. It's our voicemail line. You can leave a voicemail. We won't make fun of you at all. We won't get your number or nothing. Just leave a voicemail. Let us know what you think about it. Or tell us about the upcoming Flyers game or call after the Caps game after the big win, hopefully. But moving on, what I learned this week was that with Jake Voracek being out with this Caps game and looking at what they did on Monday and what they've done at practice this week, the Flyers top six, even without Jake Voracek, still pretty nice. If you look at Nolan Patrick,
well,
did come
yeah,
back.
Nolan Patrick coming back is huge.
That's huge because we were out Voracek for the game last week as well, and Voracek mm-hmm. and Patrick were out. But look, you have Cooch centering Giroux and Lindblom, and Patrick centering JVR and Konechny. That's still a pretty goddamn good top six from the way they've been playing the second half of the season together. All six of those players have played a lot better. Giroux, I think, is the most consistent of those forwards. Cooch probably second most consistent, but they've all been playing pretty well. That's without Voracek. Now, our third line is Lawton with Raffel and Hartman. I think it could be a solid third line. And then they're going with 11 forwards right now. They got Corbin Knight and Phil Veroni just subbing in where they can because they're dressing eight defensemen.
Right.
McDonald's still jumping
seven
in.
Defensemen.
I'm seven sorry, yeah, eight. Yeah. Eighth defense. I was thinking eighth defenseman has where McDonald belongs. But McDonald's a seventh defenseman. But Myers has been looking really good out there. What are your guys' thoughts on this with the Flyers lineup going to Thursday? Your thoughts on Myers and things like that?
Barring unforeseen circumstances, I think the Flyers have found their top four defensemen because Philippe Myers and Travis Sanheim are looking pretty good in their first extended looks at the NHL level.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably a good sign for the Flyers in the long run. You figure Provorov can't have two bad years in a row.
Yeah.
And Ghost has whatever reached his ceiling, but his ceiling's still pretty good for right now.
Or if that top four includes Ghost or Gudas, I'd argue they're still a pretty solid top four.
Yeah.
Provorov's best game, I'd say, especially defensively and with the puck, was against the Islanders on Saturday.
Yeah, you thought so?
Yeah.
As for the forward pairings, did you? I want to just bring up the pass that Patrick made to, I forget who it was, might have been Lawton in against Ottawa, where he just like skated into the corner.
Oh, the corner across.
And
the
big backhand right to the middle.
Yeah, that was a nice pass.
Oh, no, it's to Raffel.
It was Raffel, yeah, because Raffel was getting bitched at earlier by the fans for not shooting on a 2-on-1.
Yep.
And the fans were booming. People on Twitter were freaking out. And
so,
then he comes back and finishes that one. I'm like, oh.
Say what you will about it being Ottawa, whatever, but that was if that's the kind of play Nolan Patrick's going to bring in the lineup, oh, good God.
Speaking of that Raffel thing, we tweeted from the podcast, like, you know, something about, like, well, I guess Raffel was checking Twitter at intermission because everyone was bitching. Then he comes out at intermission and does that. And some guy tweeted, like, you know, why? He still sucks. And I was just like, did you read the tweet and what it said?
You reached my burner account.
Was that you?
Yeah, it wasn't me. But I definitely think that Michael Raffel could be easily replaced by anybody.
Unintelligible.
Dude, he's got great fancy numbers.
That's true. And he just...
great fancy numbers for a fourth line player.
Was it the Ottawa game? Was his 400th game in the NHL? That's
been wild. He can go somewhere else. I don't think he's going to be back next year. But looking at that, though, Lindblom's getting... speaking of other European players. Lindblom is getting a first power play time at practice this week. Could be the look for Thursday night versus the your Washington Capitals of Washington.
Well, I mean, it could
DC,
hurt.
Not state.
If you have one player not trying to force cross-ice passes, it could be beneficial.
Lindblom has been playing extremely well. I think I talked about it last week. Just to, not even just the points-wise, just his ability to keep plays alive in the zone. The Flyers were hungry like pucks. It was Bill Burr. What does Bill Clement say? Like hyenas on hamburger meat? They were like that from the second period on in that Senators game. They were hounding pucks. They were crashing into the boards. They were getting guys in passing lanes to block outlet passes to get out of the zone. And because of that, they were forcing second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances in a cycle game. And that's how they were able to wear down the Sens, who are already a bad team. And I think I said something along the lines of, like, good teams make bad teams look bad. And the Flyers, for most of that game, looked like a good team.
Yeah.
Making them look bad. So leads the question. Do you guys think they can beat the Caps tonight? And if they do not beat the Caps tonight, is this going to be the end of the season as you guys know it?
I mean, anything.
Well, the record that they need is apparently to go 9-3-1 in their remaining games. So
is
they have...
If all the other teams also win?
I think so.
So you would have to... So those nine games, they have to be against Montreal, Carolina and
Penguins.
Pittsburgh, you figure.
And yeah.
And the Islanders, too. We're not the, you don't have to fight
one
Islanders,
game against the Islanders, two against the Caps, one against the Lightning, two against the Hurricanes.
Two against the Hurricanes, one against Montreal.
Penguins, they play
against
once
Pittsburgh.
Again.
Yeah. So yeah, you figure they have to beat Carolina twice, they have to beat Pittsburgh, and they have to beat Montreal. That's four right there. Those are the four big ones. And the Caps are obviously, we're not going to catch them, but they still need to win those games.
Valuable,
the points are valuable. And you can't just bank on beating the Blackhawks and the Stars and the Blues and then throwing in the Toronto wins.
Ben Bishop
and the Rangers we should beat, but who knows? They might want to play spoiler. They're pissed that, you know, made the playoffs last year too by beating them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out after tomorrow night. But regardless, they got to take it a game at a time. And they did that on Monday versus Senators, where a lot of fans were worried the players might overlook the Sens and just look forward to the Caps game on Thursday. But they took care of business and got the win. And more good news, Voracek returned and got suspended, but Carter Hart returns. So tonight, if you're watching the Caps game, Carter Hart will be between the pipes for the first time in a week since he injured himself in that pregame skate versus the Detroit Red Wings. He got pulled before the stadium series. Everyone thought the season was over and they were going to lose the stadium series. Joke's on you. And Brian Elliott has looked, we didn't talk about him yet tonight. He's looked pretty good in relief, but I'm excited to see Carter Hart back. What are your thoughts?
Were you mad that Carter Hart didn't start against the Senators?
That's what I was going to ask as well.
Why? Because he was coming back and he was good to go and got cleared?
Yeah, well, he's backing up Ryan Elliott.
And you're going to throw him to the Capitals for his first game back.
I think to give him a little bit more practice time to get acclimated and get
a word. Do you think that they just have so much confidence in him that he'll shut it down?
That's an explanation.
I think they're confident he's going to play well against them. He's played against already some top teams in the conference already this year. And he goes through the pregame skate. He warms up like normal. He doesn't play. Whatever. He gets that out of his... Imagine going through the whole pregame ritual again and being on the bench as a rookie goalie. I mean, there's no other way to look at that. You can go, okay, he's going to go through everything. He's not going to play and start, but he will go through like he's preparing for a game. That way he gets that out of his system. Okay? Now he's able to play against the Caps on Thursday. And, back in front of the home crowd, go through that again. And he's going to get a huge ovation when he gets out there. Why? I mean, I don't see – I wasn't really mad about it, no. I'm excited he's playing again. I'm excited. I mean, it was much more fun to watch even when they were losing a couple of those games with him in that. It was fun to watch Carter Hart play. And the Flyers are a better team because of the spark that he caused and a couple other like things just falling into place at that time. But, no, I was not mad about him playing on Monday.
I think the real issue – and one that should probably be addressed sooner than later, is what the hell are you doing with Cam Talbot?
Well,
getting him acclimated to pretty much re-sign him in the offseason.
Yeah, they don't want to rush him in there like they did with Mrazek, I guess, and give him a chance to like, all right, we know you're a good goalie already. You're not going to play poorly here. Just figure it out. We'll let Elliott run this one out in case anyone wants to trade his 7th-round pick for his rights in June
30th. Do we know 30th? If Smelliott will be backing up Carter Hart tonight? On Thursday?
I would assume.
Yeah, I think he will be.
So Cam Talbot's not even going to dress.
Yeah, I don't see that being a thing. Cam Talbot was a healthy scratch on Monday.
Like, I get that you... unless he, at the trade deadline, was like, yeah, I'll totally resign here. It's not a big deal, whatever. But I feel like, since they traded for him, if I was Cam Talbot, I'd be like, I'm going to play some fucking games.
What about Sam Morin, who was a healthy scratch on Monday too?
Yeah, he's healthy too, so he needs to get in the lineup. Like,
but are they worried about?
I don't think
him
they're
going to
play him unless they're finally eliminated.
Pretty much out of it, yeah, most likely.
Yeah, I think because they don't want to throw him out there.
He hasn't played in like 15 months or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He's just practicing with the club.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I think he's. But I'm waiting for the Flyers fans to catch wind of that when they read the scratch lineup and say, "Wait a minute, healthy scratch."
Bumbling dolts.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that one to happen. But
I can't believe you play McDonald over Sam Morin.
I think at this point, Andrew McDonald gives us the best chance to make the playoffs if it's him or Morin right now.
He's getting less ice time. Shut up, everybody.
Exactly.
Jesus.
And guess
Elliott's
what?
Elliott's starting against the Leafs on Friday,
once,
by the way.
And once Voracek is back in the picture, McDonald's going to sit.
I mean, ideally.
And, unless Myers has a huge gaffe of a game or Robert Hägg, or as we call him around here.
Or something.
Unless he goes
hurt.
Through something awful. I don't see that being a thing. McDonald's gone after Voracek comes back. Roll 12 forwards again. Bing, bang, boom. Three lines of scoring. Three lines of offense.
Also,
give it to me.
Just to get this out of the way, because I've seen it a lot on Twitter, you can no longer bury a player in the AHL. Their contract. You can.
You just only get like $900,000.
Salary cap relief.
Yeah.
So it's not the juice ain't worth the squeeze
so
is what you're saying.
It's not how it used to be. Because people were like, just bury him in the AHL, and then that frees up all that cap space. No, it doesn't. Shut up.
He was already buried once with the same implications.
But it's the implication.
But it's the implication.
That's why.
He's got 1 year left. Everybody's yelling buyout. I'm saying...
Just trade him.
Just trade him
and a mid-round pick to someone.
Trade him or leave him on the Phantoms. Why would you want the dead money on your cap when you could just not have the dead money on your cap? It's not like the Flyers are strapped for cap space right now. They'll be okay.
Yeah, they should be fine, especially they're looking to make a move this offseason, which I'm sure we'll get to, but we're still worried about this season, people.
Not like Pete Holmgren era, where he had to send...
Who's Pete Holmgren?
It did sound like you said Pete Holmgren.
You're a stuttering Stanley!
Pete Holmgren era, where they had to send out eight players to the AHL just to get under the cap floor and then call them all back up.
Can
put
we get
two players on long-term IR? And then...
Can we get a Photoshop from opposite of Santa of the Twin Peaks like a TV like poster and just have Holmgren Photoshop? It just says Peak Holmgren. Bum dun, bum dun. Don't know what I'm talking about.
Great show.
Yeah. So we're worried about this season right now though, and the playoffs. Before we wrap up the show here, the very captain of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Steven Stamkos, had something to say that's been getting a lot of heat on the hockey discussions lately about the playoff format. And
before you do that,
before I do what?
If you buy out Andrew McDonald's contract after this year,
I'll crunch the numbers over here.
It is going to be $1.1 million the first year, and then $1.9 million the second year.
But if they just buried him on the Phantoms, it was $900,000?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Or what? No, it's $900,000. That still comes on the books, or it's $100,000 less.
No, you get $900,000 in cap space for burying somebody who has that big of a cap hit.
Then, like, I just don't understand why you'd buy him out when you can just put him on the Phantoms.
I just have one serious question though. Next time you do cap numbers, can you wear those green little visors and crank the machine like ting ting? Actually, according to my calculations, ting 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 ting. I don't know what the things are for. I just like the reference, like every old cartoon in The Mask.
It was to advance the paper roll, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what was it doing? Was it actually calculating things?
You were calculating.
Yeah, you'd never seen the like giant calculators that they had?
No, Doyle, I'm not as old as I look. I'm not divorced. I know you guys all think I'm like 45.
Yeah, and married.
Why don't
not
you ask
divorced, you're married.
Mike Bond at Scuttlepuck.
Don't you remember the heyday when you kept your prohibition books?
An old Canadian motherfucker. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, speaking of Canadian motherfuckers, here's Steven Stamkos talking about his thoughts on the playoff format and not liking it too much.
It is what it is. It's been that way for a while now. You're going to have to beat the best teams to win anyways, whether it's the first round or the conference finals. But I understand where they're coming from a marketing perspective,
AKA
wanting
money.
To get some rivalries early on. But,
yeah, but...
from a perspective of what you're grinding 82 games for during a season is to finish as high as you can so you can have that advantage come playoff. So I don't think that's an advantage to Toronto or Boston to be, what could be the top three teams in the whole league from one division and then have to play that team in the first round. I don't think that's right. In saying that, you saw what Pitt and Wash had to deal with for the last couple of years. I mean, it's it is what it is. You can't change it now, but I don't think it's the most fair in terms of why you play and, you know, the advantage you're supposed to have.
All right, yeah. So what do you guys think about that? Well, he's talking about, obviously, so if people don't are aware in divisions, so let's look at the Metro, for example.
He's right.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
The first seeds from each division in the conference would play the wild cards. The higher one would play the lower wild card. And then left
two
would be
and, two
the
and
two and three from each division.
Each
so last year the Flyers played the Penguins in 2 and 3.
Yep.
So your thoughts on that? That's what he's talking about.
The problem is that Toronto's number one, and then Boston and Toronto are 2 and 3 in their conference, and they're also 2 and 3 division and 2 and 3 in the conference, so that they would play each other. Then the second and third team would be out by the second round, and then the second or third team would advance to play the first seed in the second round.
Yeah, so there's the conference.
So the top three best teams, two of them would be out by the time the second round's over.
Right. And from an NHL perspective, it doesn't make any goddamn sense because they're burning all the good matchups early.
Yeah.
Like, how many years have Washington and Pittsburgh played each other in the first round?
Or when the Rangers were good, they'd play like the Caps.
Or when
a
the
lot.
Rangers
yeah.
were good.
Yeah.
But like, it's a stupid playoff system. They should just I get the having divisions, that's fine. Then do the top two from each division and then do the two wild cards, I guess. Or maybe just do 1 through 8 from the East. Make the playoffs. 1 plays 8, 2 plays 7.
If they did top two from division and they did just 4 wild cards, that would make sense. Have the 2 wild cards play now? Wait, no, it'll have to be the 1 playing. See, 1 playing 8 and 2 made 7 just made sense.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I lived with most of my life, I guess.
And they still kind of do that. They don't do the other 4 are all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the middle gets all mucked up when you had a lot of times a 4 and 5. Sometimes the 5 was better than the 4 anyway. It just was the way the points shook out and who they were, their strength of schedule.
Here's an idea. Still have your same dumbass system of picking playoff teams with your 3 division winners and 2 wild cards, but just rearrange them once the playoff starts based off of points that season. And then that way you can go right back to 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5.
Yeah. If they're going to keep it this way, reseed after the first round, maybe?
I would say before, because
the bracket's
then,
weird.
Yeah.
I would say reseed before, because then you're still rewarding the teams who had a better season.
And you should just change everything.
Yeah,
there's no point
that,
to even keep
Well,
that.
Then we can do that, too. I mean, I
but
think
But how are we
going to
do
Metro,
our NHL bracket challenge every year if they do this? Because
I think
easier.
The Metro and I think the Atlantic, whatever, those divisions are stupid anyway. Teams keep moving in and out of them. They keep adding new ones. Just fucking get rid of them entirely and then cut the country in half, east and west. Top 8 teams from each side make it.
And build a wall. Uncle. Oh, sorry.
Done. You can build a wall if you want. Right through Missouri.
Yeah, right in the middle of the East and West. You know, people are coming over here, don't like them. I don't want those Western Conference people coming over here on their jet lag, bringing their jet lag sad stories over here. I don't like playing in this town because we've traveled the most. Oh, it sucks. You live where it's sunny all year round. Shut your face. Unless you're in Edmonton, I do feel bad for you. But
somebody also said doing, like, the top 16 in the league, which would obviously mean a lot of extra Eastern Conference teams would be in it this year.
Yeah, I don't agree with
that,
because then
the travel schedule would be a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't, because the conferences fluctuate so much, or the division. Well, it's a conference.
Remember the Atlantic Division used to be something the Flyers were in.
Yeah,
they said, "Oh, we're gonna rebrand this the Metro." Like Walmart bought us out, and you'll be the new Atlantic Division.
Because like 10 years ago, the Western Conference was great.
Yeah, then
so all of those
the Eastern
teams.
Conference bought out Detroit and moved them to
because they were tired of traveling all the time.
Wasn't
the band that lived in Detroit? I mean, looks like Dresden
the east
over there
for a while, weren't they? And then they got moved to the west.
It was they swapped them because they
so
were
like
Detroit was apparently
Winnipeg
had an unsaid promise to be moved to the east at some point. It was like promise in owners' meetings
and
NHL
then like
realignment.
Nashville is in the west for whatever reason.
Yeah, they're a different time zone, kind of like Detroit. They just kind of get lumped in there because they don't really care.
Toronto's in the east. Nashville's near, like in line.
Well,
with
Toronto,
them.
But Nashville and Chicago are at west.
Yeah, like I
and,
just
and Chicago like is like kind of the same boat as Nashville in a way. You're an hour difference there in time.
It's just dumb. Just go back to 2 conferences.
Someone's
going to
write in and say, "No, Drew, they're on the same one. I don't give a shit about that. I'm on the East Coast. I don't have to care about anyone else. We literally run the whole fucking world."
I'm pretty sure they're both. Maybe Nashville.
I think it might be an hour difference. But I'm saying though, whatever, it doesn't really matter though. We're on the East Coast. We don't have to worry about that.
I know
shit.
Chicago's definitely in the Central Time
they
Zone.
They dictate conference or scheduled times for all major sporting events and all major national events on our time. People trade around the world on our time because of New York, fuckers. It doesn't matter about the rest of
the world. The only thing about the West Coast...
It's me principally getting angry, sorry.
The only thing that would be fun about the West Coast would be watching football on Sundays.
Yes.
Because you like get up at like 9 a.m. and there's a game
and
on.
And football's on.
You can drink during Sunday night football and like it's still early
and
when it's over.
Yeah, still be in bed in like
but
a
also,
reasonable
also
hour.
But also means I gotta like go to bed early on Saturday night and wake up and have like 6 hours of sleep instead of staying up till 5 in the morning drinking and waking up at night. I see it wouldn't work.
I also don't...
I'm more of an East Coast kind of guy.
I also don't see how the NHL would lose money if they just did the top eight because...
I don't know. I mean, it like
the bracket thing.
They're
is a
more
big thing
worried
for them.
About marketing the rivalries, but like, I don't know how many times
Which
do you
fine.
Remember when like the Flyers would play like the Senators or like
the Sabres a lot.
Yeah, the
that,
Sabres
that actually
or
were
like
good, they were good series.
Even Toronto, like those were all like very like
it
rivalry.
Built rivalries.
Yeah, exactly.
When we were playing the Caps. We weren't in the same division.
Mm-hmm.
The Caps were in our division when they played them back in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
And that created a whole rivalry between
right.
the whole Richards
well, they're,
and, the and
yeah.
Ovechkin teams.
The NHL is tinkering too much. They're trying to make stuff happen. Just like you can't create rivalries. Just they just rivalries happen.
Rivalry night Wednesday, Blackhawks versus the Flyers
yeah.
is a one series.
Oh, next up on rivalry night, the Panthers versus the Calgary Flames.
Like, two teams what? No one wants to watch like, unless you live in Calgary.
Well, yeah, is the rivalry who can turn the TV off faster? Like, what are
yeah.
you doing? It'll
so
like, it'll happen. The Flyers have developed like the Flyers have always had the rivalry with the Penguins. They've always hated each other. I feel like the rivalry with the Rangers has cooled off because the Rangers stopped being good.
Yeah,
but now you have like a cool rivalry with, I like who else? You're creating rivalries with. I feel like they have a rivalry with Boston, kind of after the two playoff series.
Yeah, kind of, and like Philly, Boston's always a thing there. Like
yeah.
with the football, basketball, the Celtics and Sixers are like topping in the East.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's always that, and it's just Boston and Philly. They're so similar, but they don't want to admit they're similar.
Right.
Except
so
Boston's
like,
way more racist. I'll give them that.
Teams will figure it out. They will create rivalries. They don't need the NHL to push stuff together.
Yeah. So I agree with Stamkos there, but obviously. Three idiots on a podcast can't figure it out. But we know what we can figure out. We can figure out what time it is. Because you know what time it is, people.
It's time for...
Gibba-doo-bop-bop, Tweet of the Week. Yeah!
That's right, everybody. It's time for Tweet of the Week, that point of the show where you're the listener, you're the fan, you're the person who has no idea the hell we are on Twitter. Tweet something funny, cool, or relevant to today's discussion. So, Jeff, what's this week's Tweet of the Week?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Who's that? God tweeted this?
Hold on, I was
Tom from MySpace tweeted this? Who is your god? Mel Gibson?
So
Tom Cruise?
It's not hockey related, but...
Oh, jeez.
As you're aware, NFL free agency is starting, and
but
they're
Jeff,
talking...
this is a hockey podcast. We're going to get one-star reviews now.
And they're talking about evaluation of players before free agency started. And this Chicago beat writer said, Bleacher Report named Kyle Long as the most overpaid player on the Chicago Bears. So Kyle Long got wind of this tweet, quote tweeted it and replied with, shout out to my agent.
And Kyle Long, meaning he's the, was he a tackle on the Bears?
Kyle Long from the Bears. I'm not sure what
is he a tackle, Doyle? Help me out here.
Yes.
I believe, yeah.
He's a right tackle.
Yeah, he was pretty high-talented right tackle. And, yeah, good for him and his agent, I guess, for doing
yeah.
that. And I like that, just going like, yeah, whatever, screw
yeah.
you.
I mean, yeah, I'm still getting my money.
You either gotta ignore or make fun of it, because if you pull the whole, what's his name? Who is it, Mike Hoffman? Whatever, saying like just
no, he's a guard. I'm sorry.
LOL, that's funny.
Yeah, you can't. You gotta like make fun of it or just ignore it in this day and age. So thank you to Kyle Long for your wit and our
Gibba-doo-bop-bop tweet of the week. Yeah. Also, it's like, what about the guys who fire up Madden and then you know they find out that they're like a 65 rating?
They find what?
Find out.
This is pretty good considering how many I thought were going to happen this episode, but like. That's got to suck.
Oh, the sound a little bit. Just throw a couple in there.
When you think you're good, but then your Madden rating's like a 60.
Yeah, like Michael Raffle, when he first joined the NHL, was like, oh, I'm in the NHL. It's like, you're a 68.
Yeah,
believe me, I know. I used
trash.
To play a lot. And I was like, why is he suck so bad? That's right. I was always so offended that Giroux's number was so low because I saw the potential in him. They eventually finally put him in the 90s, which was good after a couple seasons of him being in like the low 80s. Like the Flyers had like all the mid low level 80s guys for a while. Like Carter, Richards, Briere, they were all in the 80s.
Yeah,
Drew.
They were all around like 85, 86.
Yeah, but they are a very deep team. Any line could score, which was kind of actually similar to what they play. It's why they make that run in 2010.
I haven't
before
played NHL
Ben
lately.
Eager and co. ended that.
Are there a lot of guys in the 90s now? I feel like there's a lot more people in the 90s.
Well, there are definitely more superstars in the league than ever before. I think you'd argue that, so yeah. Probably. But I don't know. I don't play that mode enough to know. I usually play the World of Chell and all that stuff.
There you go.
But I digress. Guys, it's that time of the week now before we wrap up the show to give our kudos to a member of the Flyers team for great things they did or didn't do or whatever. So, Lauren Hart Waves of the Week. I went with Jeff earlier to ask what he learned. So, Doyle, I'm going to throw it to you. Who do you give your Lauren Hart Wave of the Week for a Flyer that deserves outstanding achievement, success, and recognition?
I pick Fleet Myers, defenseman, right side.
Eighth defenseman, right? No, I'm just kidding. He sucks. I'm reading his Madden profile, his NHL profile right now.
He scored his first goal last week. It was pretty nice, right in the slot area. And I'm very impressed by his skating ability and his reach.
Jumping in on the play and then jumping back and back checking. Yeah.
And like there was one play against the Senators where he coughed a puck up and it was like, it looked like it was leading to a breakaway, but he calmly just skated back, swiped it out of off the guy's stick, and it was a great play.
He got a good angle with those big strides.
Yeah. 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 He covers so much ground it like barely looks like he's moving.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I agree with that. Philip Myers, you know, eighth on the depth chart, first in our hearts. Just kidding. And only a 71 in Madden.
Madden.
Jeff got it in my head now. He's got a voice crack. Speaking of Jeff, your Lauren Hart Wave of the Week.
Voice crack. Voice crack.
My Lauren Hart Wave of the Week is...
I give my Wave of the Week.
Please, Captain. Doyle, you're a wizard if it happens.
To the guy who managed to show up, put on all of his equipment...
The more you talk, the more it's going to happen.
Sit for the team photo and not hurt himself, Michael Neuwirth.
Yes, Michael Neuwirth going to make the team photo day.
I thought he said Michael Neuwirth for a second.
Michael Neuwirth.
If you notice in this year's...
Sick Jeff, his N's sound like D's.
All of my nasal sounds are coming out muffled. But if you notice this year's team photo, the hallmark of it is that there's four goalies in it.
Wait, so we got... Who is it? Is it McKenna? Is he in there?
Carter Hart and Brian Elliott flank the first row.
Oh, Talbot and then obviously
And then Talbot Neuwirth, and Neuwirth flank the
Sorry.
Second row.
I forget about all
but,
these.
But
there's more goalies than actual like studs on the team.
Like Michael Neuwirth in the team picture. You're like, oh yeah, he's still around.
Well, he's in there because he's in there as everyone got to bring someone from their family. Racco Goodis
exactly.
Brought him. He's like, oh, he's gonna be a part of my family.
Now
this
you
week.
Sit here and don't make any noise.
My Lauren Hart Wave of the Week goes to. I want to give it to Jake Voracek for dealing with the slanderous Department of Player Safety, slandering his good name. No, but seriously.
And having to answer to his hit like seven times.
Yeah, Voracek had to answer to a lot. And for a guy who can't take the heat on Twitter and blocks people and has meltdowns at times, I do commend him for the way he's handled it, at least from what I saw. And I can't wait until he joins the lineup. But we got to see what the Flyers do versus the Capitals. So just again, to refresh for your guys' memory, tonight the Flyers play the Caps, 7 o'clock puck drop at the Wells Fargo Center. I'm sure you could probably find tickets on StubHub for cheap the day of if you're listening to this right now. Don't worry. Your wife can take care of the kids. You can get dinner on the way home or get like Tony Luke's. Just go to the game. Have fun. Enjoy it. There's only a handful of home games left. And the Flyers go right to Toronto Friday night to play for 7 o'clock puck drop in Toronto. And then they have a day off before traveling to Pittsburgh at a 7:30 puck drop Sunday night. That's going to be a big one to watch, especially if they can pick up some points in these next two games. And then Montreal on Tuesday. So Sunday and Tuesday being their biggest ones of the week. Then we'll be back here next Thursday to discuss what's going on. And hopefully the week that was good and not one that was bad. And then we can have you guys go in the rest of March until the end of the school year. Of the hockey year. Sorry. Hopefully the Flyers are the luck of the Irish this weekend. It's St. Patrick's Day. Doyle's very excited.
Yes, I am.
That's only the one time a year I can do that on the show and actually be relevant. So
one time a year we can all drink green beer.
The luck of the Irish and the top of the rainbow. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe all the red bearded people on our team will get some Irish luck while all you people in Delco go on the Iron Express and ruin the whole city of Philadelphia with puke and your vomit and your polo shirts popped up and your fighting.
Seems
green
right.
Polo shirts.
Yeah.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? Also, I'd like to point out, I found a really cool Twitter that we now follow. It's called... at Flyers Blockade, but Blockade spelled BLOCKAIDE.
This is like a Live Aid. This is like a benefit concert.
Well,
what is
so they go out and they screenshot all the tweets from people that have probably blocked you on Twitter. So that's how we saw Jake's response to the suspension.
Oh yeah, good.
He retweets or pictures of some of Sam Carcitti's tweets, some of Bork's tweets. So if you've been blocked by any of these people and you want to see what they're talking about, what people are referencing on Twitter, you can go to @FlyersBlockade.
And this person has done
it. It's a genius account.
It is a very genius account.
It's such a niche, but genius account.
I thought it was a great idea. I love it. So, and that's how we saw the Voracek tweeted out the three laughing faces.
We'll be buying him out.
He got suspended.
And here, joining the crew. Come and join the crew.
I love how the name of it is Because You Got Blocked.
But they have 25 followers
about
right
now. About my romance life?
They have 25 followers right now. So I want to see if our influence boosts them.
There's like three other Flyers podcasts saying this right now. This is the same thing. And we're all going to jump from 25 to 29.
Yes.
Look how great we are. Yeah. But really, it was all John Boric's following. It did it. No, I'm just kidding. So, guys, that's it for us this week. Enjoy the hockey. Enjoy your weekend. Don't get too drunk. If you do and your life sucks, don't drive home unless you want to. I'm just kidding. Take an Uber. And hopefully the Flyers can have a couple wins this week and we can go over with the Penguins game on Sunday feeling good about ourselves with a chance to take a playoff spot. Hope the Blue Jackets lose. Hope the Canadiens lose. Hope the Penguins lose. Hope the Hurricanes lose. Scoreboard watching is a bitch, but you must do it if you care about this team. Go Flyers. It's playoff season for us, and we'll see you next week.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.